Hi, Bruce Gagnon. Welcome again to Cable.
Great to be on your show again. Thank you.
Bruce Gagnon co-founded and now coordinates the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. It seeks to protect space from the predators and the militaries. We discuss that for one really important, that outer space is now an arena of military conflict, with the U.S. seeking to maintain domination, but the Chinese and maybe the Russians challenging them. We also discuss the many companies, when space travel cheapens a lot, who want to make money and mining and other uses, and then I'll create space junk and pollution like what's happening to our oceans with potentially great but still unknown consequences for life on this planet. First, though, some theater is absurd but dangerous. In the last several weeks, we've seen two of the three competing boy billionaires rocket off into space to get a glimpse of the Earth before returning to this spoiled planet. Seems to me this was just basically attention-getting self-aggrandizement to portray themselves as visionaries and heroic pioneers, maybe also make some extra bucks out of adventure tourism. Most folks probably thought of this as wonderful, or others, an amusing stunt. You didn't think either. Why is that?
Well, I call them the three space stooges, and it's definitely a public relations campaign. You might have noticed that Jeff Bezos was wearing a cowboy hat, trying to recreate the mythology of the westward expansion here in the United States, when the native people were destroyed, their cultures destroyed, their populations destroyed, in order to go out and get the gold rush and the land rush in the West. And that's the same thing that's happening now. Because space technology has been developed where you can go out and begin to privatize space and make money off it through all the years of NASA. NASA developed the space technology program. It was paid for by you, the taxpayer, but now under the Obama administration, Obama signed a law essentially privatizing space operations, and so we now see the gold rush begin. But there are real problems with that, and we're going to be witnessing them in the near future. You know, on Bezos' Blue Origin spacecraft that he went up on, it was fueled with liquid hydrogen, which is a very high carbon-emitting fuel. And what this means is he's punching a hole, a bigger hole, in the ozone layer that protects us, essentially, from climate change. So now, because of all these launches that are going on by all these guys, they're going to be worsening an already growing problem. I know out in your part of the country, the heat has been enormous lately. And so all those that are cheering for these space cowboys, take another look. Think about it. For example, Elon Musk has gone to the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, and got permission to launch tens of thousands of mini satellites into space that will increase 5G operations on the Earth. The Pentagon is very excited about it because they say with the speeds that they will get from 5G, they'll be able to do more global surveillance, more global targeting, and more global attacking with greater efficiency. So this means further militarization of space. But one of the implications of launching tens of thousands of rockets, you can imagine, is again punching a bigger hole in the ozone layer, exacerbating climate crisis. And so this is what we face today. We've got to be wiser, if you will, about what's going on in space, and who's doing what, and how they benefit, and how we do not benefit. This is the situation we're in today.
They're also talking about mining the moon. Elon Musk has a plan for detonating nuclear bombs over Mars to create a sufficient amount of heat to melt the frozen planet and release water and carbon dioxide, which he thinks would then create a climate very near to the U.S., I mean, harebrained ideas, and he's pushing it. I mean, he's promoting it. His T-shirts, Nuke Mars. You can read about that on the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. There's an expose of that.
We have our Space Alert newsletter on our website. Our last edition, the cover story, was Elon Musk and SpaceX have gone nuts, and it was all about this very thing you just mentioned. So you can go find our website at spaceforpeace.org. It's true. Elon Musk wants to terraform Mars. He wants to turn the dusty red planet into a green, lush planet like the Earth. many of us say, well, heck, why do you want to spend all those zillions of dollars to try to do that, including exploding nuclear weapons, as you said, over Mars? Just imagine launching all those nuclear devices. Imagine putting all those nuclear devices together at the Department of Energy laboratories spread around the country that have a long record of deadly contamination of workers, community water systems, community air. I mean, why? Why do we want to do crazy things like this and just allow one guy that said, hey, I'm going to go do this, and give him permission to do it? I mean, it's insane. So we need to have a lot more robust level of intervention by the citizens of the world to protect us from these insane psychopaths who are rushing to colonize space and to control it, which would violate the Outer Space Treaty, the Moon Treaty, that say the heavens do not belong to any one person, any one corporation, any one country, that heavens are the province of all humankind, and nobody can claim ownership. But that law that I mentioned that Obama has signed says American corporations don't have to follow international law, United Nations law, which I think is going to create a lot of conflict.
One other thing that I think should be mentioned in the discussion of the dangers, it's also going to put a lot of soot in the atmosphere, above the atmosphere, I mean, in outer space. And the soot is another powerful global warming material. This is your old Mole Variety Hour on cable radio, 90.7 FM, Portland, Oregon. Bill Resnick here talking to Bruce Gagnon, who co-founded and now coordinates the Global Network. We just discussed the boy billionaires leading the way to commercializing outer space, including mining and adventure tourism, and as a power source, of course, for space users. We didn't discuss that. They want to put nuclear reactors in space. It sounds dangerous, it is, and now is the time to stop it, when at least the expansion into space of U.S. capitalism is still in its infancy. In contrast, what is already happening in Earth is spending lots of money, no longer just beginning. Outer space has become an arena of military conflict, with the U.S. seeking to maintain domination, but the Chinese and the Russians are challenging them. Tell us about the U.S. military in space and now the challenges.
Well, first, let me address your point about nuclear power. The nuclear industry views space as a new market. For many, many years, they've been drooling at the thought of, as you said, putting nuclear-powered mining colonies on the moon and Mars and asteroids. They also want a nuclear-powered rocket in order to get to Mars in half the amount of time that it normally takes with conventional rocket technology. And also, the Pentagon is saying they want nuclear reactors in space to power space-based weapons. So again, I take you back to the Earth. I take you back to the Department of Energy laboratories sprinkled around the country that would be in charge of fabricating all of these space nuclear devices for the nuclear industry to launch. And now and then, rockets blow up and the nuclear debris could fall back to Earth. In fact, in 1997, when the Cassini NASA mission was launched to go to deep space, it carried 72 pounds of plutonium-238 on board. And in the environmental impact statement, NASA acknowledged that if there was a launch pad explosion and a release of that plutonium, the winds would carry it for a 60-mile radius. They'd have to go in and remove all the people. They'd have to go in and remove all the buildings, all the vegetation, all the animals. Can you imagine the squirrels, the snakes, the birds, the bugs, the bees? And then they would have to remove the top half inch of soil, because everything would be radioactive for thousands of years. Now, where would they put all that? What would they? It's impossible to imagine this. These are the kind of experiments, essentially, that they're undertaking with our lives and our planet. So we can't let them do it. Then at the same time, the Pentagon is talking, as you earlier said, that they want to control and dominate space. They want to deny other countries from having access to space. The United States wants to be the master of space. But since 1981, Russia and China have been going to the United Nations every year, introducing a new treaty called PAROS, P-A-R-O-S, Prevention of an Arms Race in Outer Space. Ban all weapons in space. The Russians and Chinese have said, let's close the door to the barn before the horse gets out. But the United States and Israel have been blocking the development of such a treaty to ban weapons in space this entire time through Republican and Democrat administrations. And I remind you, during the Trump administration, when the Space Force was created, a new branch of the military, it was passed in the House, which was then controlled and is still controlled by the Democrats. So the Democrats could have defeated Trump's proposal to build the Space Force, but they didn't. They supported it. The only thing the Democrats actually asked for in that negotiation, in that debate, was to call it the Space Corps, like the Marine Corps, rather than the Space Force. That's it. So we see that both parties support this militarization and nuclearization of space because both parties in Washington have long ago been taken over by the corporate money that flows from the aerospace industry. The plans are so big for everything space, as they like to call it. A few years ago, in one of the industry publications called Space News, they had an editorial, and they said, you know, we, the industry, the aerospace industry, have to be responsible corporate citizens, and we must come up with a dedicated funding source to pay for all of this very expensive everything space. And they say, we have. We call it the entitlement programs. We're going after them. We're sending our lobbyists to Washington to defund the entitlement programs to pay for this. And what are the entitlement programs officially? Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and what's left of the social safety net, which is in tatters today. So these are the programs that the aerospace industry has identified for defunding.
Well, they have their priorities, don't they? Talk about the Chinese and the Russians. Domination of space means that the U.S. has the power to kill anybody on Earth at the flick of a switch, surveillance. It also has the power then to destroy whatever it might be in China or Russia that the U.S. decides will weaken them sufficiently to just maintain their power. Well, China in particular is not ready to, in fact, become a secondary to the U.S. in terms of all sorts of global issues. And they are developing a capacity in space now, or they're developing capacity to destroy satellites in space and destroy these U.S. assets. The U.S. is responding not by saying we just have to stay out of space, but by trying to do many things to stop the Chinese from developing the capacity to constrain them. It seems to me this is an arms race in space. It's just enormously dangerous.
Well, as I said, for the last 40 years, Russia and China have been going to the United Nations advocating a treaty to ban all weapons in space. U.S. refuses. Israel helps U.S. block that treaty at the United Nations. But all this isn't new. After the end of World War II, the United States brought 1,500 former Nazi operatives, scientists, militarists to the United States in a program called Operation Paperclip. As part of those 1,500 people were Wernher von Braun, the Nazi rocket scientist that built the V-1 and V-2 rockets for Hitler. They came, he and 100 of his engineers and rocket scientists came to Huntsville, Alabama, to the Army's Redstone Arsenal to create the U.S. space program. At that time, this Nazis began testifying before Congress saying that we need to have orbiting battle stations in space that will allow us to control the pathway on and off the planet Earth so that we will be the master of space. We'll decide who gets out there in order to mine the sky. So this is like a Nazi prophecy come home to roost here today. It's coming into fruition, and we should really begin to understand where this idea of master of space comes from. It reminds me very much of Hitler's slogan, Deutschland über alles, Germany over all. What's the difference between that and master of space.
This is your old Mole Variety Hour on Cable Radio, 90.7 FM, Portland, Oregon. Bill Resnick here talking to Bruce Gagnon, who co-founded and now coordinates the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. Bruce Gagnon, you mentioned that China and Russia have been trying to stop the arms race in space with a UN treaty, which the U.S. and Israel oppose. That seems to me one way of trying to deal with this power, but the elites of the U.S. are not going to stop unless there's real popular opposition here. What's your sense of the way that opposition can be built? And also, I have a hypothesis that climate action forces will constitute a huge reservoir of opposition to the economic and growth patterns of the United States now and the rule by capitalist elites. Even if they do not consider themselves an opponent of capitalism, they see the trends now creating a destroyed planet if they continue. Every climate disaster increases the opposition, and there's climate disasters to come that make the current ones look fairly small as the globe heats up. What's your sense of whether climate forces and others can recognize the dangers of going into space? Some of them, just like the soot and destruction of the ozone layer that you talked about, some of them, in fact, contributing a great deal or potentially contributing a great deal if the space madness continues to global warming. Tell us about that possibility of building forces.
Well, unfortunately, at this time, climate change organizations have been slow to recognize the military's massive carbon footprint. The Pentagon has the largest institutional carbon footprint of any institution on the planet. So when it comes to making that connection and seeing how the military and now these space launches impact climate change groups have been slow to come around. We need to pressure them to begin to address this deadly connection. Secondly, the media control, the corporate media control over these issues is really dramatic. We're not able to really reach the public through corporate media, so we have to go around them with alternative media. On our website, again, spaceforpeace.org, we have lots of space videos. We put out a new video every month. And so I urge people to get on our email list, go to our website and look at these space videos and share them with others. Be proactive. Help educate other people because we need an immediate global debate and change in consciousness about the way we view the heavens. You earlier in the show mentioned crowded orbits from all these thousands of 5G launches by Elon Musk and others. Astronomers are very upset about it because they're ruining the night sky with all these blinking satellites, but also because of growing congestion in orbit now. Many scientists believe there's going to be a cascading crescendo of accidents up there that is going to knock out lots of satellites, which means that virtually everything we do on this planet is going to go dark because everything is hooked up, whether it's cell phone, internet banking, cable TV, weather prediction, I mean, you name it, everything is hooked up to satellites these days. So we've really got to look out for the future generations now by taking control of this whole space program in its many different manifestations. If we don't, I'm afraid there won't be much of a future left for our children and grandchildren.
Bruce Gagnon, thanks so much for talking to us. You're doing a lot to get that movement going. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
So long.